Thank you, Wendy. I think it is fair to say that the nearly 18 months we have just lived through are like nothing any of us have experienced before. Even people like Fred and Betty, who've been married for 67 years, probably haven't experienced a global pandemic like this. They've had lots of other issues along the way, but this is unique in I think for most of us living memory. You probably got to go back to the to 1917 for something like the outbreak of Spanish flu to get something like this. And it's one of those strange things where it's been a common experience in that it's affected us all, but not a fully shared experience, as for each one of us, it will have been different. And one of the consequences, the implications of lockdown is, for so many of us, we haven't been able to share what's been going on. Restrictions have been imposed on us. We've been prevented from doing things that we've always seen as normal. Our patterns of life have been significantly changed. I know when we first invited somebody around for a meal a few months ago, that felt very, very strange. Some of us have had forced gaps from employment. Some have suffered directly due to COVID and are continuing to do so. We've been unable to meet up with friends and family as we would have liked. Some of us have lost loved ones during this difficult time and have been limited in the way that we were able to recognise that. For some, it's been incredibly busy. For others, it has been frustratingly quiet. And as we hopefully move forward from those times of restriction to greater freedom, it's good to reflect together as a church family on what we've just been through. It's a way of continuing to rebuild relationship, a way of sharing in the reality of each other's lives, a way of recognizing that some people will have had life-changing experiences. And we're going to hear some of those stories shortly. And let's continue to spend time sharing together about what this has been like, recognizing the reality of that and offering help and support where needed, encouraging others to look forward while not forgetting the reality of what has happened in the past. But before we listen to those stories, and four or five people are going to share in a short while, we're going to take a few minutes to reflect on those well-known words from Psalm 23 that Wendy has just read, to remind ourselves of some of the promises it contains, but also to recognize some of the questions it raises. Because you see, this psalm combines an awareness of the reality of danger and difficulty in life. Combines those things with a sense of deep-seated faith in God. It claims that the reality of God and his presence is greater than the difficulties that can surround us. In verses 1 to 4, it speaks of God as a shepherd, and then it goes on to speak of God as a gracious and generous host, providing a feast and much blessing. But it starts with that confident claim of relationship that God, the sovereign creator, was deeply and unwaveringly committed to caring for and providing for the psalmist, somebody we believe to be David. And this is worked out in so many ways in the psalm. He speaks of a confidence that he would lack nothing, of a recognition that God would provide for his need and would bring him to good places and enjoyable experiences where he could be refreshed and restored. It speaks about God giving good guidance and direction for life. And that's picked up elsewhere in the Bible that talks about God providing a clear path for our feet. It speaks about God being there through times of difficulty and darkness. It speaks about the psalmist not having to fear any evil because God was watching over him, and that gave him courage to continue. It speaks about God providing a feast for him and pouring out goodness on him. It speaks about the psalmist being in God's house forever. Some amazing and wonderful things that for David flowed from his relationship with God. And these words have been an encouragement to many over the centuries, as people have put themselves in the place of the psalmist and applied his words directly to themselves. And these are words that have been an encouragement to many during this lockdown period, as we've recognized that the reality that God is still God, that God is still our shepherd and provider, that God is still there for us, even with everything that has been going on. But for some people, and maybe for some of us, this psalm and the positive messages it contains raise difficult and challenging questions. If we have struggled with the things that we have been prevented from doing, or even worse, we've lost those who are near to us and whom we love deeply, if we've not experienced quiet times of refreshing, but have found the isolation really difficult and the cause of stress, if we've been afraid with everything that's been going on and haven't really felt God's presence, if we don't feel that we are encouraging much goodness and life is hard, if any of those things apply to us, what does this psalm have to say? Or do we need to look elsewhere? I think in responding to that question, I want to say a few things. First of all, a psalm is not necessarily for all of us all of the time. There are 150 of them. And it's important to recognize that those 150 psalms express many different emotions and feelings. Songs written when people were rejoicing, when they were sad, when they had nowhere to turn. And we should not necessarily assume that they would each apply to all of us all of the time. That would be very confusing, because they talk about contradicting and conflicting emotions, which is understandable because in life, as we go through it, we experience those emotions as we go from situation to situation. It's also important to recognize that this psalm, Psalm 23, was the expression of one person. He was claiming God as his shepherd. He was saying that he had received blessings from God. He was talking about how God had guided him. He was testifying to the fact that he did not feel afraid, even in difficult circumstances. He was not writing these words as promises for everyone. He was telling his story. And that's one of the reasons we want to listen to people sharing their experiences today, as we each have different stories to tell. But it's also one of the great things about the Psalms. As they express so many different emotions and are written from so many different perspectives, there is normally at least one that can help us express how we are feeling at any moment and in any situation. And this can help us to be honest and open with God, with others, and even with ourselves about what is going on in our lives. For some of us, it might be easier to relate to the words of Psalm 77 than to Psalm 23. Psalm 77 speaks about someone who needed help, who cried out to God, but was not comforted. It tells a story of someone who felt rejected by God, someone who no longer experienced God's love, and who was only able to remember the good things that God had done in the past and hope that in some time in the future, he would experience those times again. And this morning, as we look back on those 18 months, if we struggle to align ourselves with those positive messages from Psalm 23, let's not beat ourselves up over that, but let's recognize the reality of what is going on. But having said all of that, Let's see if these words in the psalm, in Psalm 23, do have something to say to those of us who might be feeling that it's all just a bit hard. Because I think in Psalm 23, as in most of the psalms, along with the personal reflections of David, as he speaks about being provided for, as he speaks about being led and guided and protected, his experiences, there are some statements of fact. Statements that do not depend on how we feel, but statements that tell us something about who God is and how he engages with his people. And I want to pick up on two of those statements of fact this morning. The first comes towards the beginning of the psalm, where David speaks about God being his shepherd. The second is in the middle of the psalm, where David recognizes that God is with him. Those were David's experience. But when we look behind that, I think we can see that they are also statements of reality that do not depend on how David is feeling, but depend on the God with whom he is in relationship. God would still have been David's shepherd, even if he had felt that he was lost and unsure where to go. God would still have been with David, even if he was unaware of it at the time. Because this is who God is. And for me, this is really encouraging. It reminds us that God is always watching over, that God is always present with those of us who know him as our Father, and that he cares deeply for us and wants the best for us. There were times during the lockdown periods when I had had enough of it. It was all getting a bit hard. Sometimes the things we were doing seemed pretty pointless. It was difficult, and I know others have had similar experiences, where I was unable to visit my mother for the last few weeks of her life, knowing that because of the mental illness she had no awareness of what was going on. But whether I felt it or not, God was still there. God was still there for me. God was still who he had always been and will always be. And if we take these themes of God being a shepherd, of God being with us, and think about how they are picked up and demonstrated by Jesus, we see some really important and powerful things. The primary place where Jesus picks up this theme of being a shepherd and applies it to himself is in John chapter 10 and verse 11 and the story around that, where he speaks about being the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's contrasting himself with other leaders of the day who cared more for themselves than the people in their care, and saying that he was taking on the role that God had demonstrated so powerfully to David and to others. And some of the things that flow from this are so important to us. That as shepherd, he was prepared to die for his sheep. This is how important they were to him. This is the level of care he felt towards them. And we know this is what happened a short while later, as he was taken by the Jewish and Roman authorities, when he was tried and convicted, and when he was killed on a cross. And we just remembered that as we've shared communion together. And it isn't just that he did this for the flock as a whole, as a sort of amorphous blob. But he makes it clear in verse 14 that he knows each and every one of them individually. And in Luke 15, in the first few verses there, he speaks about the implications of this. He tells a story about someone who had lost one sheep out of a flock of 100, and how this person went out and searched without giving up until he had found it and could bring it home. Whatever our experience has been during lockdown, this reality is still the same. Something to hold on to. That Jesus loves us enough to die for us. That Jesus knows us individually. That Jesus cares for us deeply. And the other thing that Jesus picks up on earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus is speaking about coming down from heaven to do what his Father had sent him to do. And one of the things he makes clear is that this involves keeping safe all those who are in relationship with him. He says this, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Jesus not only loves us enough to die for us. Jesus not only knows each of us individually, but Jesus is committed to keeping each one of us eternally safe of holding on to us. COVID, lockdown, does not change that in any way at all. And this does mean that whatever things we have gone through during lockdown, and we need to recognize the reality of those, whatever things have happened to us, God is still for us. Jesus still loves us, and they are committed to holding on to us. And for me, this is a source of great comfort and peace. I'm going to pray, we're going to sing a song, and then people are going to share some reflections. Father, I just want to thank you for the amazing reality that even through this time of lockdown and restrictions, you have been there for us. You are still our God. You are still our shepherd. Jesus still loves us deeply. Jesus is still committed to us. Jesus will watch over us and be with us at all times. Help us to rejoice in that, and help us to build on that as we look back at what has happened and as we look forward to the future. We just give you thanks. Amen. Thanks, Rachel.
So if you are able and like to stand with me, then that'd be great.